Happy anniversary. Glad that you're here today. Over the last 75 years, this corner of Harding and Bellmead has gathered thousands, maybe tens of thousands, of people to hear the story of redemption. They came for reasons that they alone might know, perhaps following the traditions of their family. Others traveling dark and difficult roads in life. Still others looking to network for personal advantage. And more, embracing a reality bigger than the life that they see around them. Regardless of the reason, I hope that they all encountered Jesus here. I hope that they all encountered love here. If you happen to read my letter to St. George's exhibited on the far wall in the Bradford Gallery, I conclude there by asking, what is the church? I offer that we are a past, present, and future community heralding the good news, the pivot point of all history. Together we travel as pilgrims along the way, keeping before us the truth which transcends all space and time. We know that the truth which transcends all space and time is Jesus. The way that we travel is as pilgrims is Jesus. The life which we share together is Jesus. Our essentials study this semester has been looking at images and aspects of what it means to be the church. And this morning, I'd like to elaborate a bit more on who we are as the church, who we are, and who we want to be at St. George's. First, I want to acknowledge that we are a place for support in times of grief and struggle. We are a place that seeks to assist those in spiritual, emotional, or physical need around us, the widow, the orphan, the homeless, and the hungry. We're also a place for study and discipleship. And in fact, I suspect that those images or aspects and, or others akin to them may be what people most think about when they think about the church. And they should. But friends, there is more. In Big Bend National Park, near where I grew up, stand canyon walls reminiscent of scenes out of an Indiana Jones movie. Santa Elena Canyon now has a lazy Rio Grande River flowing between its impressive cliff walls, towering up to 1,500 feet above the river. Evidence in those walls of a mighty river is clearly seen. But the Rio Grande, to use the words of Tennyson's Ulysses, is not now that strength which in old days moved earth and heaven. It's not the same stream that earned names like the Big River or the Wild River of the North. The landscape bears the memory in the form of gorges or a broad riverbed that has become a haven for all kinds of desert plants and wildlife. The landscape of humanity's spirit, however dry and barren, still bears the memory of a once mighty river that flowed. Psalm 22, beautiful psalm, towards the end says this. It says, all the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord. We will remember. The scriptures prophesy of an inherent and instinctive memory in all of the world that will cause them to turn to the Lord. It's there. It may be barren and dry, but the memory of that river is there. We, the church, are meant to be a people of resonance, like a tuning fork where we hear these things and we remember. We are a place where the dormant memories of our union with God through Christ are awakened, and we begin to sing a new song of joy and celebration. The church is a place of remembering. Now, this reading from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians is my favorite. People could ask, do you have favorites? And I would say, I have favorites throughout Scripture, but the one that the Holy Spirit has used to absolutely change the trajectory of my life the most is this passage from 2 Corinthians. It took some hold of me 20 or 30 years ago, and it hasn't stopped taking my breath away. For me, it sums up who Jesus is, what he has done, and who we are as the church. What is our mission for the next 75 years and beyond? It's right here. It's right in this passage. Now, I don't have time this morning or won't take the time to expound on this line by line. It is packed densely. Perhaps I'll teach a class at some point on that, but there are a few things that I do want to highlight. Verse 19. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. Not counting people's sins against them. Not counting. Because that's the nature of God. The nature of God is love. You might say, well, hold on, that's different. Love can still count. Well, what about 1 Corinthians 13, that famous love chapter? Love keeps no record of wrongs. Sounds like they're not counting to me. Not counting their trespasses against them. James, the second chapter, mercy triumphs over judgment. Not counting. God is not counting. Why do we? Why do we keep counting? You didn't ask me, but if you want to know one of the main reasons why I believe the Christian church overall is in decline, it is because the church keeps counting. We have forgotten the flowing river of God's Holy Spirit and the absolute success of the cross and resurrection. We need to quit putting fine print under the cross and resurrection with all these ifs, ands, and buts. It was an absolute success done in Christ for the redemption of the world. And we have forgotten that, and instead we have too often embraced a tired, old world of the flesh perspective, playing the counting and comparison game. We have kept counting. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting that message of reconciliation to us. It's hard for us to have much veracity in that message if we keep counting, because we're contradicting the message all of the time. This was not in my notes, but just very briefly. So I might say, well, what about, we're going to have confession and absolution in just a minute. Don't I need to confess in order for him to quit counting? No, he's quit counting. We confess for our sakes, because it is honest when you're in a relationship and you have done something that offends, you want to make it right. It's the substance of a relationship. You're like, oh, I'm sorry. Even if you know they're not counting, you want to make it right. I'm sorry. And then the priest stands up and says, you have been forgiven. You are forgiven. God's not counting. The confession and absolution is for us. It's not so that God will forgive us. He's not counting. The message of reconciliation, the mighty river of Christ, which resonates deep within the hearts of all of us, it is there. All the ends of the world shall remember. and turn to the Lord. Do you not know, it says, that it is the kindness of God that leads us to turn to the Lord, that leads to repentance? It is this kindness that causes us to turn. The church, we are a people who have stopped counting and instead minister reconciliation. In 1979, wonderful year, the seventh and final studio album titled Dr. Heckel and Mr. Jive was released by England Dan and John Ford Coley. Any England Dan and John Ford Coley fans out there? There got to be a couple. Thank you for that hand. God bless you. Thank you for that hand, sir. They released a single from that album that made it to number 10 on the charts. The song was actually written by Todd Rundgren, a favorite of mine. And the song is titled, Love is the Answer. Light of the world, shine on me. Love is the answer. Shine on us all, set us free. Love is the answer. Beautiful. In a recent interview, Rundgren, who wrote this song and says of it and others, he's written like them this. I'm not a Christian, but it's called Christian love. The love that people are supposed to naturally feel because we're all of the same species. That may be mythical, but it's the subject of the song. Is it mythical? Most of us, me included, can come up with a boatload of reasons why love won't work in this case. How quickly we stray from the essence of our God who is love. No, it is not mythical. The power of love has been forgotten. As that 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians says, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. In fact, it says love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. As for counting, it has ended. Regardless of the reason that people come to St. George's, I hope they encounter Jesus here. I hope they encounter love. I want stirrings in the deepest corners of their hearts and souls to find that resonance, a resonance of God's love, to flood them with rivers of living water which will bring healing and life to a dry and thirsty life. That's who we are. And that is your birthright. And it is the birthright of every single person that drives past this corner and everyone out there. The invitation, taste. Come taste and see the Lord is good. Happy are they who trust in Him. Trust in Him. Trust in Him. You have been reconciled. And He is not counting. Amen.